Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, December 20th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 66, the second full paragraph, beginning with, "If we were to live," and ending with, "For alcoholics, these things are poison." We are going to read and comment on just that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Hillary B. reading the text, 1SN reading page 164, and Jody E. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Betsy H. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, December 19th, 2024, is 22011 or 22011. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22013 or 22013. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service this morning. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service today. I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda R. And I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Thank you, and Stephanie, for your service, and good morning, everyone. My name is Terry G. I'm a food addict from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should be remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do service today. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 66. We're reading the second full paragraph, beginning with, if we were to live, and ending with, for alcoholics, these things are poison. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only. And I will now ask Hillary G. to please get us started. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Hillary B., as in beautiful, in Southern California. And if we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. I've learned over many years that anger is not, it is poison to me. It is poison. It steals my joy. It steals my ability to not be totally self-destructive with food. But can I be free of anger? No, not on my own. And that's why I work these steps as if my hair were on fire and I have a higher power, because that's having a power greater than human power is the only way I can be free of anger. And I'm never free of anger. I mean, I do have periods where I'm free of anger, but I will never, till the day I die, not have any anger. It says it's the dubious luxury of normal men. That means questionable. It's uncertain. It's unreliable, even for normal people. But for me, a compulsive overeater, it kills me. So I turn to my higher power. I get angry at my husband. I get angry at anybody who isn't treating me the way I think I deserve to be treated. I get angry when people don't understand me. I don't even understand me. It's so I am so unreasonable, self-centered, selfish. And what a gift that one day at a time, one moment at a time, I do get to be free of anger at those times that I'm able to see it before I explode and to ask my higher power for help. So my number one goal in life is to get out of the way, get out of my own way, and be open to whatever my higher power has to give me. Whatever there is for me to receive from my higher power, I don't want to block it. My compulsive overeating, all that food, blocked it for decades. My thoughts block it. I have so many thoughts that are self-centered, selfish, self-seeking, self-destructive, destructive of others. So many thoughts that lead me down a road that to misery. And only by following this path and having a higher power and ignoring my thoughts and letting my higher power inspire me, that's my only path to not having to eat. Thank you so much. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Hillary B. And we are now going to open the meeting up for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when your time is up. Please finish up promptly in order to give others a chance to share their experience, strength, and hope with that paragraph too. So if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last and where you're from.
Rachel Ruby L. H. from California.
I heard Ruby H., but I think I heard a Rachel before Ruby.
Yeah, Rachel L. from San Diego.
Shanice.
Julie P., Minnesota.
Okay, just one sec, please. I think I heard Shanna C.
Malka S.
Yes.
And then I heard Julie from Minnesota. Did I get that right, Julie?
Yes, thank you.
Julie, was
Malka
that Julie
S.
P.?
Yes, Julie
Malta,
P.
Malta, just 1 second, please. Julie P.? Okay, and then I've got you, Malta. And that was Malta. Oh, that's okay. Malta S or Malta F?
S, as in sunshine.
Gotcha. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Did we have anyone else that I didn't catch who wants to get in on this first one? I'll tell you who I have, and you can let me know if I missed you. I've got Rachel L., Ruby H., Shanna C., Julie P., Malta F. Was there anyone else who wanted to share? Okay.
Barbara A., so, California.
Barbara A., okay. Barbara A., gotcha. All right. So we're going to go ahead and start with Rachel L. followed by Ruby H. And just a reminder to please let us know where you're calling from. And good morning, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel L., compulsive overeater from San Diego, California. First off, I want to thank everybody for their service that they did on this meeting this morning. And I just want to say I did not want to come to this meeting this morning because I am having a very bad day today. I know it just started, but I'm supposed to be getting out of my nursing home today. And, you know, my medical equipment's getting all messed up. You know, a guy called me with a horrible attitude about it. And, you know, old Rachel before program would have cussed him out, went off, you know, just, oh, it would have been a horrible experience. But, you know, to be very polite, I was able to work it out with him. And he's telling me, well, you know, if we don't get to deliver it today, you could just stay in the nursing home for another week or two. And we'll deliver it when we can. So I'm sitting here and I'm just like, you know, like I said, old Rachel would be freaking out, pissed off, mad at everybody, cussing the nurses out, cussing my roommates out, you know, pissed off at the world. But I'm like, you know what? I need to put my reliance in my higher power that today it's going to work out. Today I'm getting out of the nursing home. You know, I've been here almost 3 years And I've put in the work that I needed to do for this day to come. And, you know, when they tell you when you put the food down, you start feeling more. And, oh, if that ain't the truth, you feel more. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm angry. But I'm not going to let that overtake me, because it's not, you know, the nurse's fault. It's not my roommate's fault that all of this is going on. So I'm not going to take that. I'm going to pray, I'm going to meditate, and I'm going to put my reliance in my higher power today that this is going to work out and that I'm getting out of the nursing home today. And if it doesn't happen, then you know what, maybe there's another plan for me, that maybe a couple more days, you know, something else is going to work out. But you know what, I'm pretty sure it's going to happen today, because everything has lined up so perfectly for me. I just think that this is kind of just a test to, you know, see how good is my program really going, you know, just test my anger, because old Rachel would be throwing stuff, breaking things, and going completely ballistic. So, but thank you so much for letting me share. Love you all, my OA family, and I'm going to pass with that.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel L. from California. Next up, we've got Ruby H. followed by Shanna C. Good morning, Ruby. And Ruby, if you could hit star one to unmute, please.
Hi, my name is Ruby H. From California, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm on this Visions call. I've been on it every day for the last 2 months. Sometimes even I'm up at 4 a.m., which is 7 a.m. that time, and I do the other one. And listening to the meetings could keep someone abstinent, I would be abstinent. But I just need to get really honest this morning, because the disease has me so incredibly isolated, and I'm rapidly putting back on the 120 pounds that I lost, trying to offset it with extreme laxative abuse, and it's not working, and it's getting to be like a dangerous situation, and I still can't stop. And I've probably had, no exaggeration, probably 20 sponsors in the last month, but what happens is I talk to them one or two times, and I want so bad to be the good sponsee, to stay out of the food, to work the steps, and I can't stay out of the food, and I get so ashamed about it. I get so ashamed that what I do is I just stop calling them, and sometimes just block them. I mean, because I don't know. I cannot stay out of the food long enough to start the steps. I've listened to every one of the podcasts, the Harlan podcast, and Melissa and Ruth on entire abstinence. I've listened to them all as I'm sitting there eating donuts, killing myself. And I keep coming to meetings because somehow, in some way, it feels like it's not quite as painful. You know what I mean? Like, it's the only thing that I have, but I am so terrified to put down the food. That's the bottom line, right? I get uncomfortable, and I just want donuts. I just want donuts, and even if it's just 9 seconds of relief, it's something. So I just needed to get honest. Well, I'm sure there's people on here who have sponsored me who I've blocked, and I'm sorry. It's not you. I just have so much shame. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing with us today, Ruby. And please keep coming back. And if you want to stay the last 10 minutes, you can get phone numbers of fellows. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing, and thanks for being here. All right, we're going to go next with Shanna C, followed by Julie P. And if everyone can please hit star one to mute your line, we can hear noise in the background. we can get everyone to hit star one to mute. Thank you so much. So next up, we've got Shanna C, followed by Julie P, and please let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Shanna.
Good morning, this is Shanna C, grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. God, this paragraph is so apropos. Thanks for everyone who shared. Thanks for leading the meeting, and thanks for being here and being a safe place to land for people like us who are suffering from this horrible, incurable disease. And apart from divine help, I know, at least for me, I have had and have no hope. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. So underneath the food, underneath the alcoholic food behaviors, there's, you know, that's the problem. That's the poison, is the anger. And why am I so angry? Is a lot of why? Well, for the longest time, I would spend so much time blaming other people and blaming myself, when the bottom line is I'm powerless. I'm powerless over the food. I'm powerless over the fact that I can't stop putting those alcoholic ingredients into my body, even no matter how much I want to, no matter what I do. No, there's no human power that can or has ever been able to stop me significantly enough, you know, for any period of time. And two, once I put that stuff in my body, even though it may be nourishment for another person, for me it is poison. Just kind of like the book says here, you know, other people can get pissed off and angry and blow up and do what they do and get over it and water off the duck's back. But me being the sensitive, overly sensitive, and can't help it, but being so self-centered and so scared all the time, left to my own devices, I can't handle that kind of anger because I self-destruct. And why do I self-destruct? Because I take it out on everyone else around me. And when I'm taking anger out and I'm hurting other people, I'm hurting myself. But see, the problem is I can't stop being that way. That is the problem. And the food beat me into that state of reasonableness to where I had a moment of clarity enough. I saw I could not stop, no matter how great the necessity or the wish, and was willing to go to any length. And that's when I was able to work the steps with the help of a sponsor who had worked the steps. And through God's grace and mercy only, and through this gift of desperation only, have I been able to remain abstinent. So, you know, one of the problems I've always had is comparing my recovery to other people's and why they get it and why do I don't. I don't know. I don't know or care why other people get it or don't anymore. I'm just glad that I do. And all I know is being willing to help someone else through this process is the only way that I can stay abstinent. And I had to get to the point where I was properly armed with the facts about myself through taking this inventory, which is what is being described here, so that I could help other people, because that's the only thing that works. And it establishes and maintains the relationship with my higher power that keeps me safe and protected. You know, okay, I'm gonna be feeling myself talking too long if I don't shut up right now. But anyway, grateful to be here, grateful this process. It works, it really does. It's all I have. Thanks.
Perfect timing, Shanna. Thank you so much. Shanna C in Tennessee. It's like a song. Next up, we've got Julie P, followed by Malta S. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, fellows. My name is Julie P. I am grateful to be in recovery today in the state of Minnesota, where it is 10 below, but my higher power is keeping me warm. I am truly a compulsive overeater, and I am really keying in on one word in this paragraph, and that is the word poison. And it made me think back to memories I had when I first came into this program the end of 2021, and I was trying to figure out what my alcoholic foods were. And some of them were glaringly apparent, and others pretty elusive. But I recall walking through the grocery store and looking at those foods, sugary substances, my number one offender, and just looking at them and telling myself, that is poison. It will kill me. And walking through the grocery store for 3 months doing that, I actually started to believe that that food was poison for me and it would kill me. And it helped me get through putting my alcoholic foods down and discovering what other foods were that were my allergies. And since then, I am so grateful that I have learned that poison has a new meaning for me. And that poison is anger. And it has poisoned me my whole life. And now I'm able to see that. And I know that if I do not keep up on my 10 steps and my resentments that lead to anger, that I am doomed to eat. And there is no in between. And I am grateful for the reminder. The word poison is such a powerful word. And thank you all for loving me before I could love myself. And welcome to the newcomers, and keep coming back before the miracle, and the miracle will happen. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Julie P. in Minnesota. Next, we've got Malta S. followed by Barbara A. Good morning, Malta.
Good morning. This is Malta S. in Mexico. Compulsive. That's actually the first time I've referred to myself as that, to be very honest. I've been in program for a few months, and it's really opening my eyes to so many new ideas and new concepts. And anger is truly, truly poison for me. It is ego. It is self-centeredness. I truly believe it. Anger is denying God. And I don't want to do that, because that leads me down to a road of misery and food and numbing and stuffing my feelings. And I think I'm like part of this, I don't know, this generation or whatever, of like, where, you know, people say like, feel your feelings, you know, you got to feel your feelings, and you got to, like, where do you feel certain things in your body? And like, when I think about anger, I'm very visual. So I think about like myself, like turning red and blowing up like a balloon, and like, you know, feeling horrible. And I think it's important for me to feel that anger. And I think, like, I guess, like, just knowing that God is with me and that I'm not alone while I'm in that feeling. Because anger, I feel like it stops me from living. And, like, what is living, really? It's knowing that that things in my life are exactly the way they're supposed to be. And I have a mission. I feel like I have a mission. And this program is teaching me to live in an aligned way with God and with my higher power, and I'm super, super grateful. Like, it's unbelievable how grateful I am. And I'm on this new journey of recovery from food was the answer for me. And I feel like it's slowly, slowly, you know, becoming God. And with that, I will pass, and thank you so, so much for being here. And yeah, thank you. Have a great day.
Well, perfect timing, Malta S. from Mexico. Thanks. Next, we've got Barbara A. from California. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, moderator. This is Barbara A. from California, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater for today, by the grace of God. Oh, it was so powerful to hear these shares today. How often I forget how this disease affects us. I feel and hear so much recovery on this line. And I'm so grateful for people who are in their disease listening. Because these book is giving us instruction. Free of anger. Anger, I justified everything with anger, but I think it came from fear. We heard the word resentment early in this chapter. It's the first time they mention resentment on page 64. But deep resentment, deep anger, justifying our actions with anger. And I have read that anger turned inward can just be this, it can crucify us. It can turn us to the darkest place. I had to be free of anger, which meant a lot of humility on my part. I had to look at my behavior. I had to look where I was responsible. That's not easy. I avoided it for many, many years, believe me. If you want to reach out, I can give you an example of how many years I've been fighting, doing step four. By the grace of God, having some recovery. This will be my second abstinent Christmas in the 20-something years that I have been. I pray that it's an abstinent Christmas. Today's abstinent in the 20-something years I've been in this program. So grateful to have recovery and to listen to the shares because I know how desperate I was when I was in this disease. And this is where I found recovery. If you're a newcomer, if you're listening to this, and all I can say is don't leave. Listen. Reach out. Unblock your phones. Do whatever you have to do to hear the message. Be willing. God doesn't make it hard for people who come to Him. I'm the one that blocked off the stair. I'm the one that stayed angry, justified, had all the reason I had to do what I did and eat. This book teaches me on a daily basis how to surrender.
Barbara,
that's what I get out of this book. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara A. in California. And before we get another lineup, let me remind y'all where we're at. We are on page 66. In How It Works, the second full paragraph beginning with If We Were to Live, ending with For Alcoholics, These Things Are Poison. And if you would like to share, please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Kathleen W.
Leland
got you, Kathleen.
Janice K.
I've got you, Janice. Leland, and what was your last initial, please?
P in Germany.
Okay, thank you so much. And Janice, what was your last initial? I didn't get it.
K.
K, okay, Janice, gotcha. Anyone else want to share?
Allison T, California.
I think I heard Allison T from California.
C, as in cat.
Okay, gotcha.
Jackie B. in Georgia.
I've got you, Jackie.
And Deb F. from Texas.
Okay, and I think we'll hold there and see if we get to everyone. I've got Kathleen W., Leland P., Janice K., Allison C., Jackie D., and Deb F. And please make sure to let us know where you're calling from so people can find you on the member list. So we're going to start with Kathleen W., followed by Leland P. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning. Good morning, family. I'm Kathleen W. from Illinois. And this is a wonderful, I love this chapter. And I love this paragraph. It's the funny thing about anger. Anger is a feeling that we have. It doesn't always feel good, but it actually is good to pay attention to it because it helps us to make boundaries It signals us when something is amiss, that something is disturbed, you know, in our psyche. And so it's good to pay attention to the anger. I don't think anger is bad unless we use it to hurt others or ourselves. Thank God we have these steps, and when we feel the anger, we have each other to go to deal with this buildup of human emotion. And so this program has helped me to learn how to deal with my anger in healthy ways. But the word that I look at here is grouch, and I have a note there that says complaining. And there have been times when I don't even notice that I'm just complaining about everything. And when I become aware of my complaining, I have thought, think about how many times you complained about things today, you know, about, you know, my husband walked in the house with mud on his feet, or, you know, this one did that, or this one or that, or I don't like this, or, yeah, that was nice, but I didn't like this, I didn't like that. You know, the complaining thing, to be in that place of complaining about, you know, even in my head about, you know, my husband, it's just, you know, focusing on him rather than what's going on with me, what needs to be fixed with me, not what needs to, how he needs to be fixed. So the complaining is, I think, extremely poisonous for me. And and paying attention to it. Why am I complaining? What is going on with me? You know, and like I said, I have fellows I can go to. I can talk about that and look at what is the underbelly of that. With anger, I loved anger because it made me feel so powerful. I didn't have to feel shame. I didn't have to feel hurt. I could avoid those feelings. I noticed that under anger, many times if I go deeply into it, it's just shame. And
Kathleen, that's time.
God has helped me with that. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Kathleen W. Next up, Lilan P. followed by Janice K. Good morning, Lilan.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for your service. This is Lilan P., recovering compulsive overeater in Berlin. And today is my belly button birthday, and this week is also 6 months of abstinence, and I could not be more grateful and more happy to be here sharing it with all of you. And I have been so humbled these past days as we've read these paragraphs on step four, this one included, and so awakened to how I've been living in the past 14, 15 years. I stopped coming to program about 14 years ago due to acute illness and becoming housebound and mostly bedbound. And I'm still mostly bedbound and housebound, but no longer acute. And I sort of wondered why in that time my food didn't become catastrophic. It didn't scare me until this past spring and brought me back to the rooms. But, you know, I live a very isolated life. I don't have a lot of contact with people in real life due to my illnesses. And I think that kind of saved me, because when I think about it, like every time, the rare times I can leave the house for the doctor or maybe even walk to the grocery store, I would return home seething with, it might be the taxi driver, it might be the cashier, it might be the receptionist, it might be the doctor, the nurse, or just like the Germans who walk down the street and don't smile. When I'm living in a culture where people don't smile at strangers, and like, is that the hill that I want to die on? And I think, my God, if I had been out in the world daily, the resentments would have consumed me, the grudge, the brainstorm. I would have been just not knee deep in the food, but underwater. And even as it was, I've just had these like three resentments that I just, you know, that I just kind of juggle and coax in my hand, stroke, and always planning that the conversation I'm going to have. And I'm feeling so hopeful now that this book, these meetings, these steps, they will give me a chance to live different with God as my source. If I stop going around expecting everyone to be the ones who meet my needs and make me happy and give me what I expect, if God is the source and I learn and remember to turn to God again and again, I just feel so hopeful and so thankful that I'll pass. Thanks.
Perfect timing, Leland P. in Germany, and congrats on your 6 months. Next up, Janice K., followed by Allison C. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning. Janice K. in Oregon. I wish it were just anger. I wish it was just anger. I think that any strong emotional state, especially the ones that come with a physical response, create what might be called an internal firestorm. Anger can certainly do it. Fear, oh yeah, wow. Fear can make its own firestorm. So can shame. So can remorse. So can guilt. So can anything. And the problem with those internal firestorms is that I begin to be out of control. I end up being in charge. And that's never gone well for me. So once I reach that point, it makes it very, very hard to hear my higher power. It's easiest and best to catch this stuff fast. People who work step 10 intensively know this. But the problem also is that too much happy can be a problem. Too much triumph, that feeling of power, hey, I'm right, puts me in charge. Me being in charge has never brought me a miracle. I've had miracles. They always come when I ask for help. The only way I have ever been able to deal with food is through step 11. I heard someone, different program, say recently that they start their people on step 11 because without prayer and meditation, it's much, much harder to get through everything else. So I wish it were just anger. I wish just being alive weren't such a fraught topic for, I will say me, I won't say us, for me. But I have never brought about my own miracle. I have always received them from my higher power. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. And next we've got Allison C. from California. And I think that I overshot the mark. We may not get to you, Jackie or Deb. So sorry. Please come back and share at the next meeting. But we'll see how it goes. So Allison C., you're up. Good morning. Allison, if you can hit star one to unmute, please.
Can you hear me? Perfect.
We can hear you now. Perfect.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. Allison C. from California, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, practicing these steps one day at a time. Two things from this paragraph stuck out to me. The first is that it says, if we were to live we had to be free of anger. I lived a lot of my life rushing through my day, coming home and putting my kids to bed, and then eating to take the edge off, you know, falling into a just food and not really paying attention to the priorities that I needed to do to keep my household going. And because of that, I just continued to have to-do lists that just piled up. And from that became just frustration with my husband, with my kids, with people that I work with. And if I really want to live, I have to, A, practice my program every day, and B, stay out of the food. And the only way I can do that is through my 10, 11, and 12. And really, I've noticed in myself that I have a lot of anger if I haven't spent my quiet time in the morning. I can see the difference in myself at the end of the day if I haven't spent that time with my higher power. And I don't have much to say, except I would just like to say that anger comes from people not following our script for me. And when I'm able to give this to God in the morning, I find I have less anger with people that I see during the day. And my nightly review is better. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Allison C. from California. We've got 2 minutes. Jackie D., are you still there? We'd love to have you share for 2 minutes.
I am, and thank you so much for letting me share and giving me these last 2 minutes. Hi, this is Jackie D. from Georgia. And I just want to say that I am so grateful that this program has given me the tools to deal with my anger, because I went to bed angry last night. I woke up this morning angry, and it was all at my husband because, as the previous sharer mentioned, he was not following my script. And so I have the tools now that I can do a two-way prayer. I can journal. I can talk to my higher power to let the anger go. You know, because of the fact that he's not following my script does not make him a bad person. It just verifies that I have to work within myself, and I have to trust more of my higher power and stop trusting in me, you know, trusting in my thoughts and my feelings to make me feel better, or have him make me feel better, because it's not his responsibility to make me feel better or to justify my crazy. So anyway, I'm just really glad that the tools of this program has taught me how to be a better person and how to not eat over things that I can't control. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you for your service. I really, really do appreciate the opportunity to say just, you know, that I'm just really, really grateful for this program. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Jackie D. from Georgia. Perfect timing. We're right at the time to close. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Juanise, please read a vision for you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stephanie. Hello, everyone. My name is Juanise, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I'll pass.